Along with historic flooding, Harvey is also expected to cause significant beach erosion along the entire Texas coastline. And 65% of that coastline may experience a severe level of erosion called dune overwash, as waves and storm surge cause major changes to the landscape. Beach erosion is a problem faced by all coastal communities that are seeing more frequent flooding, more severe storms, and rising sea levels. David Boeri from member station WBUR reports now from one vulnerable spot, North Carolina's Outer Banks.
Water is the driving force of all nature, wrote Leonardo da Vinci. Da Vinci, who was fascinated by great storms and terrible floods, would have loved the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Nearly 200 miles of low-lying, shifting sand islands link into a high-energy system of waves and storms.
These beaches are doomed. The buildings are doomed, too.
Professor Orrin Pilkey of Duke University is an octogenarian prophet in vacation land. Traveling through a shanty town of McMansions on stilts, motels and condos too close to the sea, Pilkey stops in the town of Nag's Head. He predicts the kind of catastrophe that would have drawn Da Vinci.
The future is one of retreat. That's the only way to save the beach, the only way to save the buildings.
The island wants to move. It wants to migrate west. And normally that happens when waves and wind carry sand over the dunes to the backside in the quiet waters. Trouble begins, though, when people build big houses and big motels close to the beach, like this Comfort Inn, where we're staying.
The Comfort Inn is a symbol of the problem. There is a 6-story building that's right next to the beach.
Pilkey actually missed counting the ground floor, which makes 7 stories. Either way, it's too big to move. Past storms swallowed both its pool and its deck. The shoreline in the Outer Banks has lost 1,500 feet, in some places 3,000 feet in the last century and a half. Hurricanes and winter storms routinely swallow homes. As for the Comfort Inn,
it's a future disaster. You know, the time will come when that will be a good offshore fishing reef.
The old-timers used to live on the backside of the barrier islands. Coastal geologist Stan Riggs of East Carolina University, who spent half a century studying the dynamics of the Outer Banks, says old-timers knew that building on the ocean side is like building on railroad tracks. To protect themselves from that train, current owners and investors place their hope in engineering. But it's the storms that bring sand in the first place.
You can engineer this system, but at some point you don't have a barrier island, and you surely won't have a beach unless you pump sand.
Down the chain of islands at Buxton Beach, they're doing just that. Bulldozers are moving sand that's spewing out of a pipe. Riggs points offshore to a dredge ship 2 miles away that's piping it in.
It comes from that dredge across the bottom. That's what he's sucking out of the bottom out there.
It's called beach nourishment, as if it's therapeutic. But it's a high-cost prescription to replace the sand that's gone from the natural beach. This project costs over $7 million a mile, $22 million in all public money. The engineers guarantee a life of 5 years, but Riggs says the sand, the nourishment, is generally gone in 2.
These land masses are moving, they've always moved, they always will move. They're storm-dependent systems, they have to have storms, and you have to let them breathe or you're going to kill them.
Storms are the drivers of change. With rising sea levels, small storms will do the same damage that bigger ones do now, and hurricanes will bring waves with storm surge stacked even higher. Orrin Pilkey, the prophet, calls for repentance.
One of the best ways to respond to the sea level rise is do not allow people to rebuild their house after it's been severely damaged by a storm.
Damaged or destroyed, those mom-and-pop houses give way to massive beach houses on stilts whose owners call for more pumped sand and more engineering to protect their investment.
If your building has been severely damaged by a storm, surely you would understand that it's going to happen again.
As we drive down Highway 12, our coastal geologist, Stan Riggs, shows us where it has been buckled, broken, breached, and rolled over by storms. At Oregon Inlet, we watch the construction of a new bridge, 3 miles long, and at the cost of $250 million. A 100-year bridge that connects two islands that won't be here in 100 years, Riggs says. He warned against building it and called for a ferry system instead.
So this is a bridge to nowhere.
Absolutely.
We drive to Rodanthe, where a real estate sign beckons, "Dare to dream the impossible dream." Close to the beach, where on a normal tide, the surf reaches the stilts of a high-rise home that stands alone, like a man awaiting the firing squad. Farther south, at Buxton Beach, Stan points to where 5 homes once stood, where now there is nothing but narrow beach at the base of a steep bank.
This is the first time in 2 weeks I have been able to sit on this beach because the water has been right up here, low tide and high tide, every single day.
Used to be 200 yards wide, says one of the anxious neighbors. And homeowner Freevee Pace has one big question for Stan Riggs about beach nourishment.
Well, this is a big experiment. If it works, if
we
don't
have it... Do you think it will work?
We don't know.
Nearby, you can throw a rock from one side of this island to the other. Riggs tells her if it does work, this beach nourishment will buy her a little time. The last place Riggs brings us is Seagull Drive, back in Nag's Head.
There were probably 75 houses here that have 50 of them which are in the ocean and gone.
Sandbags stacked up to their decks couldn't save them. I stand under one lone leaning derelict ready to go, its septic tank exposed on the beach like a sunbather on her towel. If sea level rises 3 feet by the end of the century, Riggs says, no amount of sand nourishment will provide even a temporary stay for the Outer Banks. By then, the beaches and the barriers will be gone, and our great-grandchildren will be worrying instead about saving their homes in the cities and suburbs. For Here and Now, I'm David Boeri.